Session number 16339, Reel 1.
Mr. Benson, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Southampton.
Which year was this?
1918.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a jointer, electrician.
Did you go to school in Southampton?
Swaling, yes.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
Did you get a job?
Yes.
What as?
Oh, in the early days, as delivering newspapers.
What job were you doing when war broke out?
I was in the Southampton docks.
And how did you feel when you heard the news that we were at war with Germany?
Well, I didn't know much about it as a youth. It didn't mean much in those days. But, of course, I saw what was happening in the shipyards when it came to degaussing the ships, you know, to offset the danger from mines. So I knew a little bit what was going on in that direction.
Were you doing any degaussing yourself?
Oh, no.
How did they do the degaussing?
It was a form of cable around the outside of the ships.
Were you in any of the bombing of Southampton by the German Air Force?
Only daytime scares when these came over in the daylight. They used to come and go without interference in those days.
This was in 39?
That would be in 39-40.
When did you leave Southampton?
I was called up in the Marines 15th of February 1940.
Mm. How did you feel about being called up?
Oh, I didn't mind. I'd have volunteered anyway.
Mm. What happened to you after call-up?
I went to Eastney Barracks, Portsmouth. And then from then, round about June, we moved up to Immingham Docks, a complete unit with 4.5 guns, a coastal battery.
What had you thought about the training that you got at Eastney?
Oh, well, it was naturally in the Marines, it was pretty strict. But I was fairly fit anyway.
How were you treated by the people in charge?
Oh, all right. Quite all right.
Did you go into action on Humberside?
No.
Why not?
Well, anyway, we would have gone in action as if German Navy had come up there. That's the only way that we would have been involved, using our coastal guns.
Did you go to the island in the middle of the Humber where there was a battery?
No. We were either side of the Humber, the Grimsby side and the Hull side.
You were telling me earlier where you were in the East Riding. Can you tell me again?
Sunk Island. Yes, we're at Sunk Island under canvas.
Do you think that if the German Navy had penetrated the Humber, that you would have been able to deal with them?
Well, at least we'd have to have done something.
What happened to you next?
I went home on leave in October 40. I arrived at Southampton, the central station. The town had been bombed the day before, and I had to walk home about 5 miles with a full pack, and had to find my own landmarks because a good many had been moved as a result of the bombing.
Where were you going to after the leave?
After leave, we were going overseas, full stop. So we left the Clyde, January or February in 41, and went straight across to the Atlantic to Freetown.
What was the name of... Were you in a unit by this time?
In those days, the whole organisation of I was in was the MMBDO.
Can you say what it means?
Yes, it's the Mobile Naval... Mobile Naval Defence Organisation.
Is it Boom Defence Organisation?
No, it was to cover most things. But when one looks at it, looks back, it wasn't very efficient.
Yeah. Do you think the B in the middle of the MNBDR stood for Boom Defence?
No, it's Mobile Naval Defence Organisation. Yeah.
What was the voyage like?
It's a battery, Mobile Naval Battery Organisation. Yeah. Mm. And that consisted of signals, searchlights. X battery was 4.5. And infantry.
What was your voyage like?
Pretty rough. Bearing in mind it's an old ship and the screws were at the water about every 20 seconds.
Did you run into the enemy on the way?
No, thankfully.
Do you remember the name of the ship you were in?
Yes, the Bergensfield. Bergensford. Norwegian ship, about 20,000 ton, I would imagine, size. Mm.
And what were your living conditions like aboard?
Put it mildly, rather cramped. Mm.
What rank did you have in those days?
I was a Marine in those days, yeah.
And after Freetown?
Freetown and Cape Town, Durban.
Did you go ashore?
Yes.
What happened to you ashore?
Well, we were very well treated in Durban, very hospitable, very people there. But this only took 2 or 3 days, and then we're on to Ismailia.
What happened to you there?
Oh, we were camped there to prepare for Crete.
Did you see much of Egypt?
Very little.
What did you travel to Crete in?
A ship called the City of Canterbury.
Who was aboard that? Which units were aboard?
I think it was all mainly Marines.
How did that compare with the previous voyage?
Oh, much more comfortable. Well,
about when did you cross to Crete, do you think?
I should never forget it. On my birthday, 9th of May.
Did you know much about the situation in Crete?
No. It was quiet at that time, but as we approached Suda Bay, it was dusk, it was daylight, a nice quiet evening, and we were in a convoy of about 5 ships, I believe. And I looked back, and I saw 3 aircraft just above the sea level. And I said to one of the mate, whose are those then? Oh, three of ours. Yeah, three Italian torpedo carriers, which promptly hit one of the ships and it had to be beached. So that was my welcome party in Suda Bay.
Did the ship blow up?
No, it could be. It was beached so that most of the ship's ammunition and everything could be used.
Was it a warship or a merchant ship?
No, it was a merchant ship.
What do you remember happening next?
As we entered into Suda Bay, the first ship I saw was the HMS York, which had been, must have had limpet mines attached to it by the Italian submariners, two men submarines. In that book I had, there's a picture of it in there.
That's a book published by the Germans in 42, I think.
That's right.
And then?
We disembarked, went into, went ashore. And in those days, we travelled in Matador lorries. They were big, quite big lorries in those days. Sort of squarely built. And we went into, mainly under the olive groves. And after a while, made our way to Georgiopolis.
Where was Georgiopolis?
That's on the coast, where, of course, we had to mount our guns facing out to sea.
Did you have to prepare the whole battery?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
What did that involve?
Well, it was 2 4.5 guns. Mm.
Did it involve digging?
Yes, yes.
What was your job on the guns?
Well, I was part of the battery. I wasn't involved myself with the guns. Mm-hmm.
But did you have a particular job?
Yes, it was just part of the battery. Was the infantry side.
Was it defence of the battery? That
yes, yes.
What were you armed with?
Pardon?
What were you personally armed with?
Ordinary rifles.
Were there any Cretan civilians round about?
No. Because there, we're on the coast, and right alongside are the mountains.
What happened to you next?
We're subject to bombing daily from the 20th.
Was it dive bombing?
Not, yes, dive bombing by Stukas and ordinary bombers, twin engine bombers.
Was this the Germans or the Italians?
Germans. There were no Italians.
Were they actually aiming at your battery?
Oh, yes.
Did they have any success?
Well, they didn't make a direct hit. But we, of course, we had a small generator for the electric side. And between the base of the mountain and the sea, we had this generator. And I saw these aircraft coming over. I saw the bombs coming down. And I got down behind the generator, and my legs were exposed outside, and bombs came down in amongst the sand and the ballast and water. Everything was just covered. Something struck the back of my leg. I thought that I've had it, but I was lucky it was only a stone. So I was thankful that I was still in one piece.
So you weren't really injured?
Not really, no. A little bit frightened, but not injured.
Any damage done to the battery?
Not the actual battery, no.
To the generator?
No.
Was that the closest they came with their bombs?
That was the closest, yes.
Was your battery against aircraft or against vessels?
Vessels, against the Navy, naval vessels, or merchantmen for that matter.
Did you see any German planes shot down at that time?
It didn't happen. We had no aircraft. We had nothing. No aircraft of our own.
But what about from anti-aircraft flak?
Anti-aircraft, we didn't have any ourselves in our battery. There were not many. I didn't see any shot down.
What were living conditions like for you at the battery?
Well, beautiful, really, because it's about 80. Nice and warm. And, of course, blue sky. So it's perfect for bombing. And, of course, the Air Force had it all to themselves.
But what about the food you were getting? Was that proper food?
Oh, that was all right. No problem then.
Then what do you remember happening?
Well, then, of course, as the bombing increased, communications broke down. And the next thing is, of course, they get them ready to evacuate. And as a result of that, our battery was instructed to perform the rear guard action to evacuate Crete.
Had your unit suffered any casualties by then?
Up to that time, further no, there were little or none.
How many men were there in the battery?
About 70.
Did it have a number?
It's not a number, a name, X battery.
And who were you all under command of?
An officer called Captain Fleet, FLEET. Quite a young officer.
Where did he come from?
I don't know his hometown.
What orders did he give you then?
Well, all we had to do was to be involved in the rear guard action and make our way to Sparkia.
So there was nobody between you and the Germans?
No.
Can you describe what happened step by step on the way to Sparkia?
Yes, it was in March, of course. There are not many routes to Sparkia, which meant going up over the mountain and down the other side. And all along the route, of course, would be vehicles damaged or destroyed in the battle. And if they blocked the road, they were pushed over the side of the mountain to clear the way. So all one saw was debris more or less the whole of the way. And it's amazing where personnel were killed either side. When rigor mortis set in, how the various positions they would be in, almost standing up with some. That was probably mainly a result of bombing or firearms.
Did you see anything of the following Germans?
No, because you had two sorts. You had paratroops and the mountain troops. The mountain troops were Austrians, and they were first class. And they were the Alpine troops. So thankfully, we didn't see them, but of course we expected to be engaged by them.
Were you fired on yourselves?
No, no.
Did you use your rifle?
No.
What had you done with the 4.5-inch guns?
Oh, they were destroyed. We couldn't take them with us.
Did you have food and water on the journey?
No. We went without food the last 5 days.
Did you have water?
Very little. The biggest enemy on Crete was water, the lack of it. The only water available was from the wells, and you had to find them first.
Did you get any help from the civilians?
No.
Why not?
It wasn't. There were none available at that time, because we were making our way to Sparkia, and we didn't pass through any villages where we may have got assistance.
Did people on the march feel bitter about it?
No, no.
What did you feel?
Well, having no aircraft to compete against the Germans, you just thought a bit let down, but we more or less might just as well have pea shooters.
Did you get to Sparkia?
Yes. I am, Sunday morning, the 1st of June. Too late.
What did you find when you got there?
That the last destroyers had left and that the island had capitulated.
Who told you that?
Oh, one of the officers already there.
So what did Captain Fleet tell you to do then?
I don't recall seeing him at that stage.
So what did you do?
There was nothing to do. Having gone without food for 5 days, there was nowhere to go.
So what happened?
And, 5 a.m, the bombers came over and pasted us. The sky was perfectly blue, and the island capitulated, and, of course, a lot were killed that Sunday morning, as well as German troops from their own bombing. They tried to stop them, but it took a little while to get organised.
At that time, were you in a house or on the hillside? Or
we were, at least I was in a small Cretan church for shelter. And the plaster was coming off through the bombing. And it was a case of just hoping for the best.
How many of you were in the church?
Oh, just three or four. It was only a small church. No bigger than this room.
Were there any priests there?
Oh, no.
Was the church hit?
No, it wasn't hit, but it suffered as a result of the bombing nearby.
You mean from splinters?
Yes, and the explosions bound to have affected it.
Did you get any food at Sparky or water?
Nothing. It was chaos.
Were there many soldiers there?
Oh, yes. Yes. All those that arrived there, like myself, there was nowhere to go.
What happened next?
Well, next, of course, at daylight, to the bombing. And then things were organised, and we were POWs.
Can you describe your first sight of the Germans who captured you?
Yes, the paratroops arrived there with their Tommy guns. And then they began to organise us to get some sort of order.
Was this at Sparky?
Sparky.
The same day?
Oh, yes. Sunday morning, 1st of June.
What impression did the German paras make on you?
Not a lot, really, because they'd suffered terribly compared with us. In the main, it was the Alpine troops, the mountain troops, who more or less took over.
How were you treated at first?
Well, as the enemy. they didn't... We didn't have any food or anything. Of course, too early, and that time takes time to get organised. So it was a case of being do as you're told at that stage.
Was there any knocking about or brutality?
No, there wasn't.
Was anything stolen from you?
No, the usual thing was, the usual procedure, you got a watch, you just took it off. Yeah. But I didn't have a wristwatch or anything. So I had nothing to be taken from.
Did they say anything to you?
No, because I didn't speak German. And though the average German is English speaking, at that particular time it was just chaos, really. And it took a while to get organised. So, as far as we were concerned, the war was over.
Did anybody resist?
No.